Dear friends in Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we've been focusing on the Bible being the Word of God. We have learned how to get into the Bible on a daily basis in an effective way. And today, we go further on the topic of the Bible by focusing on the topic of Scripture memory, actually writing God's Word upon our minds and upon our hearts. So what are some benefits of Scripture memory? I want to go back a moment here to Romans 12 again, looking at the first part of verse 2 where it says, "And do not be conformed to this world." Understand that's what the world is doing, isn't it? The sinful world is trying to form us to be like the sinful world. The Bible says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed." How does that happen? By the renewing of our mind. If we let the world have its way, the world is going to keep us from the Bible, and it's going to fill us with the evil things of the world. That's what's going on all the time. Actually, it reminds me of the Captivated movie. We watched it here at Bethlehem a month or so ago. A number of you even bought copies of it. And this one's in our church library if anyone is interested. But in the Captivated movie, it is showing how, boy, in many and various ways, our minds are filled with things that are not truly beneficial for us. They are filled with things other than the Word of God. God wants us to see that reality and to stop being influenced by all these evil things and instead to fill our minds with God's holy word and be blessed now and forever. How many of you remember the old computer phrase? Maybe you can complete the sentence, garbage in, garbage out. Okay, so probably the real young ones don't know about that. But we think about that from years ago with computers. Garbage in, garbage out. What does that mean? Well, when you put in the wrong information, you're going to get out the wrong information. What's going on in the world today? Well, with the devil himself, with the sinful world in which we live, and with the sinful natures that are in every one of us, they are trying to fill us with garbage so the garbage comes out, not only in this life, but even in eternity. God does not want that for us. Rather, God would say to us, fill up your mind and your heart with my powerful, wonderful word, and then reap great blessings now and forever. That is much better, but unless we make a definite effort to do that, the world is going to win. God wants us to know the importance of using his word in a very serious way. What is another great benefit of Scripture memory would be guidance. Every moment of every day, we're always having to make decisions. Should I say this or should I say that? Should I go in that direction or should I go in that direction? All kinds of things we have to decide. If we don't have the Word of God there to show us the way, oftentimes we're going to go in the wrong way. When we have the Word of God written upon our minds and upon our hearts, then it's always there. That way, when we're paying attention to the Holy Spirit who is at work within us through that word that we know, then he's going to show us, hey, don't go that way, go this way. Don't say that, say this instead. He's going to guide us in every way. He's going to do that, though, through the word. If you walk around all the time with the word of God open, maybe you don't need to memorize, but what's the problem even here? If you're on the wrong page, that can't help you. When you have the word memorized, then God's able to bring that particular word to mind at the given moment in which it is needed. I want to go to Psalm 119 for a moment. Dr. Giesler preached on that a while back now. But going to 119 verse 9, we see the psalmist asking a question in his prayer. He prays, "How can a young man keep his way pure?" We could change that a little bit and say, how could a young man, how could a young woman, how could an old man, how could an old woman, how could a child? It applies to everyone. But he says, how can a young man keep his way pure? Then he answers the question by saying, by keeping it according to thy word. That's always the answer, by keeping it according to thy word. But then he goes on a little bit further, though, in verse 11 and tells us the very best way to know the word of God and follow it in our lives. Then he says in 11, thy word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against thee. So when we kind of know the word in general, it impacts our lives some. When we know it specifically, when we know it word perfect, and we have it right here, it influences our lives in a much more powerful way. In Psalm 119, 105, the basis of the short hymn we sang a few moments ago, many of you know that passage by memory. If you know it by memory already, make sure you learn the reference, so that way you have it all together. When you memorize, you want to learn the reference, the verse, and then say the reference again and lock it all together. So in Psalm 119, 105, it says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Let's think about that for a moment in a real practical way, not thinking about so much the Bible at this point, but thinking about really what it's talking about with a light. So I have a flashlight here, not much of a flashlight, but I want you to close your eyes for a moment, if you would, and try to imagine yourself in this situation. So close your eyes as I read through this little section. Imagine you're in the woods, it's after dark, you're by yourself, you forgot your cell phone, you're near a huge cliff, and you have only a flashlight. What do you think you would do? Well, I think it would be obvious what you would do. You would take that flashlight and you would shine it toward your feet so that you would know the next step you would take. You would also take that flashlight and shine it out in front of you to make sure the path you are following did not lead you over the large cliff. Okay, go ahead and open your eyes. When we think about the flashlight doesn't mean anything. Now you can't hardly even see it in the daylight here. But if you were out in the woods and it was very dark, this would be a very, very valuable thing to have, especially being by a large cliff and, of course, having no cell phone. Well, God wants us to know that this book here is valuable whether it is daytime or nighttime, no matter what day of the week it is, no matter how old we are, no matter what the situation is. This is a valuable book to have, but if our Bible is at home or if we know the answer is in there but we don't know where it is, it doesn't do us much good. So God is saying to us, put to memory those things that are most important, and then you will have them with you all the time, and God will use them to richly bless you, and then to use you to richly bless others. I do have one other passage in here. We've touched on it a few weeks ago, so I won't go into it now in detail, but an important passage when it comes to guidance in connection with the Word of God would be 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, where it says, "All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness." Why? That the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's what the Bible does for us. It thoroughly equips us for everything we need in this Christian life. So again, by reading it and studying it, hey, good thing. By memorizing it, you get even much more out of it that way. What I want to do now is go on to what I'm calling some real-life encouragement. I want to tell you a little bit about a man named Dawson Troutman. Anybody familiar with that name, Dawson Troutman? Okay, well, you can see from the bulletin there, he lived a long time ago. He lived from 1906 to 1956. Actually died in a tragic way. He died in a drowning accident. I believe he was trying to save another person's life, not being the best swimmer himself, ended up dying. Should we feel sad for Dawson? By no means. God took him home to heaven, a place we'd all love to be someday, and we will be through Jesus Christ. But during his lifetime, though, he did begin a Christian ministry, maybe some of you have heard of it, called The Navigators. And The Navigators has their own publishing company today called Nav Press. If you're in the Christian bookstore, you might see some things published by Nav Press. But with The Navigators, it's an organization that tried to help people receive Jesus Christ as Savior and then grow in Jesus Christ as Savior and then function as disciples of Jesus Christ. The discipleship topic is one I want to come back to. I included it here initially and decided I don't have time for that today, but such an important topic. If we were all functioning truly as disciples of Christ, that would transform our lives, that would transform our entire church. We really need to get back to that topic. But for today, though, what I want to do is share with you the great impact that scripture memory made upon the life of Dawson Troutman. So rather than me tell you the story, I'm going to play an audio clip. So we have Dawson himself speaking, and obviously it's an old audio clip since he died back in 1956. But I think you'll be able to understand what he's saying, though. But I invite you to listen carefully and hear what he has to say, and notice how scripture memory, how God was using that to work in his life, and notice also how he had memorized a good number of Bible passages before God opened his eyes to see the reality of his sin and his need for Jesus Christ.
And so God picked out a little couple of women, Miss Mills and Miss Thomas, and now these were school teachers. And Miss Mills is the one who, 6 years before this day, had put a name of a boy on a prayer list. She was the general science teacher. And in the ninth grade, this boy in her class, there was a beautiful blonde sat in the first row, Mary Wilkins. And in those days, the girls wore long curls down the back, you know, rolled like this, a bunch of them. But every other day, Mary'd wear her hair in curls, and then the in-between day, she'd part it in the middle, comb it out like this, and braid it. And she looked dumb. She looked beautiful with the curls, but she looked dumb with the braids. And Mary was my girl. And we didn't have fountain pens in those days. We had ink wells right up there. And this braid used to hang just about an inch from that ink well. And I went on a sit-down strike and on the braids, and I'd go like that. And she'd yell, and Miss Mills would have trouble. And she decided to pray for this boy. So she wrote Dawson Troutman down on her prayer list, and she told me later that she had prayed every day for 6 solid years. Little did she know that on Friday night, while she was home with Miss Thomas, and they had a whole stack of little pieces of paper, and they were looking up verses in the Bible and trying to find 10 verses on the subject of salvation that they could get the young people to memorize. Little did she know that the boy that she'd been praying for 6 years was going to memorize it. Because it was that Friday night that she was writing those down that I was on my way to jail. And so as Sunday came along, I decided to go to young people. Well, the pool hall where I played billiards and gambled was just down the street. The church was on Brethren Street, just a half a block down. And we used to hear the old church bell ring up there, and I'd stand out and watch these Christians go down there, and I'd poke fun at them. But this night, I looked around, and none of the boys were looking, and I sneaked down, and I started to go in the young people's group. And that night, there was a boy and a girl on the front porch, Johnny Stanton and Alice Rugrath. Now, Johnny was a fine, big, tall young fella, and Alice was a very, very lovely, beautiful girl. And so when they saw me, they recognized, they knew me because they'd known me in high school. But they were nice. I didn't expect such a warm, lovely greeting. And they said, oh, we're starting a contest tonight. And Johnny said, be on my side. And Alice said, you be on my side. So I went on Alice's side. Alice gave me this little piece of paper, see? And she said, now you hang on to this. And we got inside and they had the usual deal, you know. And I don't remember what was said, but I do remember this. They talked about a party they were going to have. And they were going to have a contest. And you got points for being there. And if you were on time, you got extra. And if you put money in the collection, you got extra. Take note. And then if you brought somebody, you got points. And then if you learned these verses, you got points. And I said, well, what do you do with these? Well, you look them up in the Bible and see those numbers, that's the chapter and that's the verse, and then you learn it and you get 5 points. 10 verses, 50 points. So I went home and I dug up a little testament and I stuck it where nobody could see it. And I went to work, I drove a truck. And during the week, I thought, well, whenever I went into a contest, at least I had a lot of faults, but I didn't have the fault of not fighting. At least I went in and fought. And I tried to win, so I learned all the 10 verses. Here I was, learning, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John 1:12 was in that. Many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Now, I wasn't thinking about the scripture. I was thinking about 50 points and saving the money so the other side had to pay for the eats at this party. My motive was to save 50 cents. I went back next Sunday and I got the surprise of my life. You know how many of the kids had learned their verses? None of them. It was the first time I got to see how a lot of Christians do. No life, no fight to get out there and do something. They had a motive. They were Christians. And it surprised me. Oh, Laura Stanton, one of the girls, Johnny's sister, had learned 3. Well, when they asked for the people on my side to get up, I thought, I don't want to get up there and make a sap of myself. And then I thought, well, there goes my 50 points. And I jumped up and I quoted the 10 verses. 50 little points. Well, anyway, Alice came around and says, good stuff. You put us ahead tonight. Here's 10 more. You see, Miss Mills and Miss Thomas thought, well, if anybody does these, well, we'll have 10 more. And so the next week, and boy, they really prayed that week because this guy had come, they wrote out 10 verses that were all for new Christians to help them to live the Christian life. And in that new batch of 10 verses were verses like this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And in that was a verse that said, the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And there was a verse in there that said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I learned that. And then I learned this one. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear. And I went back next Sunday, and I got another 50 points for the Reds. And with the Reds, we're ahead of the Blues, and I helped put them there. And we won the contest. But that's all forgotten, and all those kids are forgotten. But one thing isn't forgotten. The third week, on the way to work, with those 20 verses of Scripture stored away down there, I'm walking along minding my own business with my lunch pail in my hand. I was back in my sin. My little promise to God made to him that night when the policeman was taking me on to the jail, that didn't change my life. Going to young people's on Sunday night didn't change me. I was the same guy. I was given Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at the Silver Spray and the taverns and the beer joint. And going to church on Sunday and sort of feeling, well, I guess I'm a little better. I guess a little of this good won't hurt me after all. But Miss Mills was praying and the Word of God was working, and all of a sudden, that morning, the third week, walking along, suddenly the Holy Spirit brought to my mind one of those verses. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Boy, those words, hath everlasting life, just stuck in my mind. I said, oh God, that's wonderful, everlasting life. Well, I remember when I was a kid reading history that a fellow by the name of Ponce de Leon sailed in a ship and spent a fortune to try to find a place where if he could drink from a certain fountain, he'd be forever young. Here was something better. everlasting life. And I pulled my little testament out of my pocket and I looked it up, and sure enough, there it was. Has everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. And for the first time that I remember praying, after I'd grown to be a man, praying when I wasn't in trouble, I said, "Oh God, whatever this means, I want to believe." And just like that, the Holy Spirit brought John 1:12 to my mind. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And I looked it up, and there it was. Sure enough, I said, "Oh God, whatever it means to receive Jesus, I do it right now." And that was my new birth. Do you know how I know? I didn't know the next verse here, which tells me it was the new birth. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Born of God. The new birth. I didn't know it, but when I went to work and I reached up and I pulled the big old wheel around to my number and punched the clock, and my buddy came up and he told me a dirty story. And in that dirty story, he'd used the name of Jesus Christ. And I remember looking at him, what right did he have to take Jesus' name and use it with that filth? Why, the day before I'd been doing it. You see, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And I didn't laugh at his story. I went on through the day and I drove a big lumber carrier. And in those days we didn't have power brakes or hydraulic brakes. We just had plain mechanical brakes. And this big 7-ton truck, fellas would walk out in front of me and I'd jam on the brake, and I used to cuss them a little bit when they do that. And this first day, some fellow made me mad and a swear word came out. Before, I used to think it was smart, but this time I felt bad and I said, "Oh God, I'm sorry about that. What'll I do?" Oh, pretty soon another guy came out in front of me and I cussed him again. Well, look, what a revolting development. I can't keep this up. What'll I do, God? Then one of the 20 verses comes up, John 14:13. "Whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, that will I do." God, clean my mouth up. And don't let me swear anymore. And then this other verse came. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Do you know, friends, the next time a guy got in my road, the Holy Spirit brought to my mind before the word came out. That's 29 years ago. If God can take a man and control his lips, my Bible teaches if any man bridle his tongue, he can bridle his whole body. And that was the beginning of the Christian life, and it's one of the reasons, Brother F., why I love to see a brand new Christian begin to get the Word of God hidden in the heart. Because if it hadn't been for those 20 verses, I would be back in the dance halls and I'd be back in the beer joints.
Okay, well, that's just an excerpt of what he has to say. It goes on for about an hour, but I tried to pull out what I thought was the most important part. But I hope you can see how God used Scripture in a powerful way to get his attention and change his life. And when God united him to Christ, there were true and real changes in his life. It wasn't like he was, before he wasn't going to church, now he is going to church. No, there were real changes from the inside out. Some people might look at that and say, well, that's a non-Lutheran kind of a way to look at it. But understand it this way, though. We believe in the Lutheran Church. We believe very clearly from Scripture that God is at work through holy baptism to unite people to Jesus Christ. The very best thing for any person is to be united to Christ. Extremely shortly after birth, Martin Luther himself, he was baptized when he was 1 day old. The very best thing, be united to Christ right away. That's work that God does in baptism. And then to continue in Christ throughout your life, being nourished and fed by the Word until finally God brings you home to heaven. That is the best thing. But there are situations, though, where people are united to Christ in baptism and then become disconnected from Christ and need to be reunited again. There are other people who never even hear the truth until they're adults. They've never been baptized, and God works through His Word in order to bring them to Christ. So there are different ways in which God works. It's always in connection with the Word. And what is baptism? Baptism is not just baptism. We say baptism is the visible Word of God. What we have here is the printed Word of God. The sermon is the proclaimed Word of God. God is always working through His Word. I want to share with you briefly how God has used scripture memory in my own life, and in many respects very similar to how He used it in the life of Dawson Troutman. Years ago, I went to a Bible class with a new pastor we had at our congregation, and one of the things he did was he got us some going in daily devotion. I shared that with you a few weeks ago as to how we can be in the Word each day. So at the time when I went, I was a faithful churchgoer. I was one of our usher captains. I was involved in the church. I went to the church. I went to Bible class, and I assumed I was in Christ and everything was fine. But when I went to the Bible class, so he got me into reading the Bible every day, and I thought, it's not really helping me, not hurting me. I'll go ahead and continue. And then every week he would put a scripture reference on the board in class, and he would say, I want you to memorize this Bible verse. When he did that the first time, I thought, I'm not sure if I'd ever memorized a Bible verse in my life. I probably knew like John 3:16, but I had really never memorized another passage. My pastor was kind of easy on us in confirmation. He didn't make us memorize the passages he probably should have. He was too nice. So anyway, I thought, well, okay, I'm in the class. He wants us to memorize the passage. It can't hurt. I'll go ahead and do it. So here I am now, actually not even being in Christ, because I had long since become disconnected, but thinking I was a Christian. Here I am now reading the Bible every day. Here I am memorizing a Bible verse every week. Then, after this went on for a while, I came across another passage, and I thought, hey, I'm going to memorize that verse too. It wasn't even one that was assigned, but for some reason God led me to memorize it. In Romans chapter 5, verse 6, it says, for while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. So I read it, sounds good to me, put it to memory, and then a few weeks later, I'm going over the verse, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, for while we were still helpless, wait a minute now. I thought I knew what that verse meant, but now I'm mixed up. I am not helpless. I go to church, I go to Bible class, I'm a hard worker, I try to do things for other people, I am not helpless. That was my conclusion. What did God do almost immediately? Almost immediately, He brought another Bible passage to mind, and I had not yet memorized the Bible passage, but I had come across it in my daily devotion. So I hadn't memorized it, but you know the daily devotion system, it kind of puts these passages in the back of your mind. So I looked it up, and it's like, oh, there it is. Jesus said in Matthew 5:48, therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And I thought, wait a minute. I thought I was good enough. I went to church. I tried to be a good guy. I did this. I did that. I was an honest person. And then it says that I had to be as perfect as God the Father in heaven. And God showed me through that passage, well, like the truth of Romans chapter 3. It says there is none righteous, not even one. No one can obtain the standard that God has set. The standard He has set is so high, no one can even come close. I didn't know that for most of my life. I thought I could obtain it, and because I didn't know what the standard was, once God made it clear as to what it was, then I knew I could not obtain it. What did God do right in that instant? He brought other Bible passages to mind. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, as well as many other passages. And He showed me in an instant that I was helpless. Truly I was, as the Bible says, but Christ had done it all, just as the Bible says, and God again gave me that gift of faith to trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior, and it changed my entire life. Like Dawson Troutman said, in connection with 2 Corinthians 5, it says, therefore, if any person is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. When I look back to that point in my life, one day I thought I was going to heaven, and in fact I wasn't. The next day I knew I was going to heaven, and in fact I was. It was a huge transformation. And then, like Dawson Troutman referred to, I had to begin to speak a little bit different. Now I'm thinking a little bit different. Before I was a head usher at the church and involved, now I'm showing up on our evangelism night to go out and visit people and help them know about Jesus Christ. Now I'm a member of the evangelism committee. Now I'm a youth Bible class teacher. And God is showing me how he has changed my life. He's given me the word of God more and more, and then allowing me to use that word in order to be a blessing to other people. And have I arrived yet? By no means. Am I still a sinner? By every means. Do I need Jesus Christ? I need him desperately, but I'm thankful I have him. And I know I'm going to heaven, not because I'm a good guy. I know I'm going to heaven because of Jesus Christ. But this all came out of spending time in the Bible day after day and memorizing key Bible passages. So God used such things in order to change my life, and God continues to use such things today in order to strengthen me in Jesus Christ and to use me, hopefully, to be a blessing to each of you and maybe to some others as well. So the scriptures are so super powerful. Some food for thought here in closing. Some of you might find it odd that here is Dawson Troutman sharing the story that he did. Some people would find it very odd with me sharing the story that I did. I've had many good Lutherans tell me, "Hey, Bob, that is not a Lutheran thing. You should forget that idea. You were, in fact, in Christ all the way through." Well, if you look in our theology books, we talk about what we call reiterated conversion or reconversion, and we believe that there were certainly certain people like King David and like Peter and other people that definitely were in Christ, fell away from Christ, and God brought them back to Christ again. And then think of some others, for example, who were in the Word before they were Christians. Think about St. Paul. St. Paul was a Pharisee. His father was a Pharisee. Paul, for years, was immersed in the Old Testament scriptures, and yet he did not know the truth. Finally, God opened his eyes to the truth. He knew about God, but he didn't know that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Finally, God opened his eyes to the truth. What about our own Martin Luther? Martin Luther, he was in the monastery, certainly dealing with the Word of God. He was a Catholic priest, certainly dealing with the Word of God. And yet, he did not know Christ as Savior. He looked at the Bible. He's trying to do what the Bible says. He realized he could not do it. He could not obtain the righteous standard that God demanded. Finally, then, God opened his eyes to the truth to show him that, in fact, he could not obtain it, but Jesus Christ had done it for him. I'm not saying I'm a St. Paul or a Martin Luther or even a Dawson Troutman, but I believe, though, that God powerfully works through his word. We need his word in our daily Christian lives. And if you know anyone who's not a Christian, what's the best thing you can do for that person? Get them into the word. Double dare them to read the word. Challenge them to read the word. Say, if you're in the word every day, I'll pay you a dollar. Do whatever you can to get them in the word, because people, even sometimes, like myself and like Dawson Troutman and others, they get into the word for the wrong reasons, but God can still work through that word in order to powerfully transform their lives. I hope all of us right this moment know Jesus Christ as our Savior. I hope we are confident that we are fully forgiven in God's sight and ready for heaven. And I hope also that we are using this book each day and reaping the benefits of it. And then that you would be willing to take even a further step and begin to memorize God's holy word. In the newsletter, which was just completed on Friday, there are printed copies out in the back for those of you who signed up for a printed copy. And for those of you who get it online, you should already have it in your mailbox. But on the front cover here, I've been putting a memory verse up at the top for a while. And the memory verse for these 2 months will be 1 John chapter 5. But it's an excellent, powerful passage on being certain that through Christ, We are the children of God. We have eternal life. This verse will bless you. This verse will help you understand that good people don't go to heaven. Those who have Christ go to heaven. It's such a powerful passage. I invite you, I challenge you to memorize it. If you're not quite sure how, you simply go over and over and over it. But there's even more to it than that. I'll share that with you next week. And all God's people said, Amen.